Welcome back to the Sports Zone, everyone. Keith Kelly here with you as we're going to talk some Colorado Rockies baseball. The Rockies taking on Pittsburgh. Final game of a three-game set this evening. 5:05 first pitch, 4:30 pregame. Root Sports Rocky Mountain. We've got Mark Stout joining us, our Root Sports Rockies update. Mark, good to have you back on. Tough little stretch here. For some reason, this team just doesn't play well at PNC. Can you kind of put your finger on what goes on there with the Rockies?
Yeah, I have no idea. I mean, the Pirates have been good in the past years, but over the last 5 years, I think they're 4-13 coming into tonight's game. So, you know, you have three game sets each year. That takes us to 18. The run differential is like plus 20 for Pittsburgh in these 17 games. You know, last time was a game where they're in it. It's 1-1, and Ottavino gave up the home run. I mean, I always feel bad talking to Adam post game because, you know, I try to talk to relievers when they do well, but sometimes, you know, when a reliever does well, especially not a closer, it sort of just goes unnoticed because that's their job. And then, you know, you give up a pinch hit home run and it's so glaring. And, you know, he was pretty frank last night and just said, you know, I let the team down. And the way things have been going this year, that's how the guys feel. I'm going to tell you, I'm confident they're going to come up tonight big and then home by the Giants. So we'll see what happens. Yeah, I don't know, because especially this year in particular, Rockies started out and Milwaukee beat the Brewers. They beat the Cardinals, beat the Cubs at home and on the road. Wink, wink, nod, nod, all you Cubs fans.
Yeah, definitely so.
Coming up about a month or so, maybe 5 weeks at home.
Mark, you tweeted out something about the length of time that the Rockies had been in first place, comparing it to the previous four seasons, and they've been in first place longer than any of those years combined, right?
Well, what's today? It's Friday, it's June 14th. They've basically been in first place by themselves or tied atop the NL West for 60 days. Let's just average it out there and go. It's just round up. Basically for 2 months this year. You look at the last 5 years, not four, 5 years, they've been in first place. They were first place on game days. What they do is sometimes they factor in off days too. You just take game days that they played, and it equals what they've been in this year. So it's 54 this year, 54 the last 5 years. So over the last 5 years, you're talking about an average of 10, 11 days in first place for the entire 162-game season. So to me, that puts things into perspective. Yeah, they lost three straight, but they had that happen earlier in the season against Washington. It bounced back, and it's just a different team and a different feel. And I think that number proves that.
Well, and you mentioned three straight losses. I mean, that's matches their longest, as you said, longest losing streak of the year. I mean, if you can keep a losing streak at three games, because listen, there's going to be ebbs and flows all the time, and you're not going to play well. If three games is your longest losing streak, usually good things are going to happen to you, right?
No, absolutely. Yeah, that's the way it is. You know, that series at Wrigley, four game series, as tough as it is, they take the first three. You know, Wrigley is just a different environment. Everybody knows that. It's you know, the historic field, Cubs are the world champs. You know, everybody. I give them credit. Everybody there. Everybody there has a Cubs jersey, T-shirt, hat, koozie, whatever you can think of. They got it, and they're rocking it. And the environment was awesome. And the Cubs fans did not know what to do for the first three games. They were just like, the Rockies, yeah, that's right. They're in the National League, right? They're not supposed to come in here and win a series. And then Sunday's game was pretty intense. You know, Cargo got thrown out. The team was down early. They came back and tied it up with Desmond single, middle innings in like the fifth. You know, hot and humid. It was a hot day. And then they come to Pittsburgh. And, you know, frankly, Pittsburgh's all about the Stanley Cup. The crowds have been lower. I'm making excuses, yes. Mm-hmm. But hopefully they'll get out of that funk from the first two. Didn't play well on Monday. And then, you know, yesterday's game, you had Chatwood pitch well. And he had a 1-1 game, of course, going, you know, late in the game. So it wasn't like they got outplayed in the second loss.
You were down in the bowels of Wrigley Field there. I was watching pregame, I think you and Jeff, and you were down there. What'd you think about all that? Have you ever taken a tour? I'm guessing you have of Wrigley Field and what you went through this weekend?
Well, yeah, that part I've been there all the time. You know, I used to take the team bus and we come in and you walk, oh, I don't know, it's not far. It might be, I don't even think it's the length of a football field from where you you get off on Addison and Sheffield. And then you walk in and you go down, and then the players actually go down and then go up to the clubhouse. So what we showed you is walking down from the clubhouse in and around, and you know, and then you come up and then you go up to the field, which is cool. What I got to do in Sunday's game, I don't know if you saw that, was I get to stand on top of the Wrigley Field scoreboard.
I missed that one.
I was in game. I was like in the fifth or sixth inning. I had to go up this little secret ladder through a hatch door, up like two sets of stairs, up another like secret ladder, and then I actually stood on the very top of the Wrigley Field scoreboard. We had a camera up there, and they shot me. I did a hit and just talked a little bit about the scoreboard, which was built 80 years ago in 1937.
Now, did
it was cool.
Did you feel comfortable up there with that old of a structure?
I was fine with it, yeah. You know, the dudes were in there that were changing the scoreboard. It's loud, man. When they move those numbers and change out innings and runs and stuff. But yeah, up top, and you know, it's the Windy City, and it was a little breezy that day. But, you know, there was a part of me thinking, is this cool? Is this safe? But majority of me was like, yeah, this is really cool, and this is something that I'm pretty fortunate to be able to do. So I was up there for about an inning, and one of the coolest things I've done in baseball.
You remember the old days when the old WGN, when Harry Carey and Steve Stone used to call a game out in the bleachers?
Yeah, right. How cool is that?
Yeah, Drew and Spill, they need to get out there and do a game, you know, on the rooftop bar area. I think for the Rockies when they get back to Coors.
Yeah, we've actually talked about there's an apartment complex. I don't know what apartments, lofts, who knows what they are in downtown Denver now. And we show it every once in a while. It's a place called the Casey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the way TV works, the actual broadcast is, whatever, 8 seconds delayed because of the satellite uplink, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And, you know, we'll show them, and they have this delayed reaction when they see themselves on TV. We've been talking about how we can get there and maybe do something either with me out there as a reporter or some kind of a day game, kind of a fun thing. So, yeah, that stuff's been brought up. We'll see. You know, there's logistics that go into it, as you know, Keith, in this business.
Mark Stout joining us, our Root Sports Rockies update. Mark, on the injury front, where are the current Rockies that are on the shelf in terms of getting back out on the field right now?
I watched Tyler Anderson throw 52 pitches yesterday. Actually, Bud Black said 52 and a half because the Lakers stepped out of the box and he half threw a pitch, which was funny. So Tyler Anderson looks like he's ready to, they'll reevaluate after throwing what was essentially a simulated three innings against three different batters, the Lake Astorian and Tapia yesterday, and doing it all out like it was an actual game, although it's not. And, you know, when you say that, you're like, it's, well, not really a game, but best you can do. So they'll reevaluate him. I'm assuming he's going to go out on a rehab assignment and get a start or two. Now, what that means going forward for him in the rotation, not sure. John Gray starts tonight at Lancaster. I would think that Gray might go then again on Monday for Albuquerque there in Sacramento. And if that sets up, he may rejoin the rotation when the Rockies hit the road after they play San Fran in Arizona. They go to L.A. in a couple of weekends. Bud Black says that Gerardo Parra's quad tear, and I haven't heard him use that word until yesterday. He said the quad tear may be a little bit worse than they expected. No timetable for him. Tom Murphy apparently is raking down at AAA with the isotopes. I know he had another big night last night. So there's a decision that's going to have to be made with Murphy, I think, in the very near future. If he was a guy that was going to start, you know, be on the opening day roster.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Hannigan's done a decent job here. Now, where they stand with between Hannigan and Murphy, I'm not sure. So there's that. And then the David Dahl rib situation has just been in limbo the entire year, and all I know is he's at Salt River Fields.
Mark, got pregame at 4:30, first pitch at 5:05. You big fan of PNC Park there? From TV, it looks really, really beautiful, that stadium that the Pirates play in.
You know, Pittsburgh, the backdrop of Pittsburgh with the bridges and the way they have the city, and, you know, they're all in here with the black and gold. which is, you know, all the teams wear it. It's a really great setting for baseball. And, you know, I hope the Rockies can win tonight. I got a cool story about Ron Gideon, who many people probably don't even know. He's part of the coaching staff of the Rockies. He's been in the organization for 20 years. Finally made it to the big leagues as a coach. And his relationship with Clint Hurdle, which is how he got to the Rockies, which goes back to the late 80s. It's a really cool story. I'm going to do that tonight. And then, of course, we'll get the game set up. Marquez is going tonight. Hopefully he gets back on track and the Rockies can, oh, I don't know, get home before 2 in the morning, mountain time, out in our most favorite time zone, Keith, the black hole time zone, and then get back at it on Thursday when we play the Giants. So,
looking forward to it again. 4:30 pregame, 5:05 first pitch, Rockies and Pirates. Mark, we'll talk to you in a couple weeks. Thank you so much.
All right, Keith, see you, man. Have a good one.